what he's ever done for me. I can never praise him enough for the cross of Calvary. I can never thank him enough for salvation full and free. I can never do anything to deserve such perfect love. Oh, for everything he's done, I can never praise him enough. A thousand tongues could not express just what my Lord has done. As if he hadn't done enough, he gave his only son just to hang upon a rocky cross and bear my load of sin. It explains what I can't explain, the love I have for him. I can never praise him enough for the cross of Calvary. I can never thank him enough for salvation full and free. I can never do anything to deserve such perfect love. Oh, for everything he's done, I can never praise him enough. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I can never praise him enough for the cross of Calvary. I can never thank him enough for salvation full and free. I can never do anything to deserve such perfect love. Oh, for everything he's done, this for everything he's done, this for everything he's done, I can never praise him enough.
This morning we read verses 1, 2, and 3. We're going to read now 4, 5, 6, and 7 and cover just a little bit more tonight and then cover some more next Sunday morning as we look at the idea of making sure that you and I understand that we have the power to be revived even before revival comes. And we can do that. By the way, how many have cleaned fish before? You've cleaned fish. I mean, you scaled them, you've gutted them, took out the insides, okay? How many have never gutted a fish and took out the insides? Okay. All right, those of us that have done that, I'm going to ask you some questions here in a minute once we get down to that part. We'll see what God has for us. 4, 5, 6, and 7, let's read those verses together, starting in verse number 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. How would you like to have been on that ship at that particular time, and your name happened to be Jonah? I don't think that would be a nice situation to be in at all, but God is so merciful, amen. And God has worked this situation out to get Jonah's attention, and we're looking forward to seeing what God's going to do in our lives, amen, to bring about the revival that we need to have so that we can reach a lost and dying world for the cause of Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and pray tonight. Father, thank you once again for what we heard this morning, Lord, by way of Jonah and his power. to rebel. Lord, we have that same power. Lord, we exercise it quite frequently. Lord, much to your dismay. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in our hearts. Thank you for your mercy toward us, your kindness, your steadfast love toward us. And God, that if we're not for that, the same mercy that's been shown to Jonah, we would not be. But I thank you that you're merciful and you're long-suffering to us, Lord. Lord, and you're also not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Help us to give that same mercy and that same grace to others that we have received ourselves. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Now meet our need tonight and encourage us from your word. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. We talked about as the revival approaches, we want to make sure that we're revived in and of ourselves and that we understand that no one can really take away our revival. Can some people make you upset? Can they get on your nerves sometimes? Amen. Sometimes your children frustrate you, your boss frustrates you, you know, people in general frustrate you. And that happens. And with all that, you know, they still can't take our revival. You say they can't. They sure do a good job of it. Amen. No, we actually forfeit it. We give it away because no one can actually steal your revival. That's like saying somebody can steal your joy. Can anybody steal your joy? No. Can anyone steal your salvation? No. You actually forfeit those things and you go without those things, but no one can steal those things. And a revival is one of those things that once you've had it, you want to keep getting it again and again and again. By the way, let me put this out there right now so no one will think they're an oddball. Nobody is revived 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, or 366 days if it's a leap year. Nobody is revived all the time. How many of y'all have to refuel your cars? All right. The rest of y'all don't have to refuel your cars? You got electric cars? Amen. If you got an electric car, what you got to do? You got to plug it in. Amen. How many got those hybrids? Nobody's got a hybrid? Okay. You got to go longer before you actually do something, but you still have to do something. Amen. And so it is with revival. You can only go but so long, and you've got to get replenished from the Lord. Amen. The same way the car needs fuel and needs to operate, you and I need the fuel that's called the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. And we've got to have that in order to get going. And we used that illustration this morning about the fire. Amen. So it's got to be that way. We gave you this outline this morning, Jonah, the power of one to rebel. And we saw that Jonah rebelled by running from God in verses 1 and 2. Then we saw that Jonah thought his reasoning was good, also in verse 2. And what was his reasoning? They're wicked. And what was his command? He was supposed to go to Nineveh. Yeah. Now, by the way, be honest. Would you be reluctant to go to the one who destroyed your people? I would be reluctant. How many would be so reluctant as to go in the opposite direction? You say, Pastor, I ain't been tried in that area yet. Amen. Try me and we'll see. Amen. And if the truth be known, that's absolutely correct. You don't know until you've been tested in that area what you're going to do. You can say all of the right things. I would never. And then when God says, go to that one whom you despise or that one whom stole from you or that one who hurt one of your family members or that one who did whatever. Jonah starts looking pretty good then. And we start thinking, cry against their wickedness so you can be merciful to them? I'd rather that they die and go to hell. You know, now we won't actually openly come and say it, but our actions say, I don't want to go to them. And sometimes we can be just like Jonah. If we're honest and God asks us to go to that person or that one or that area, we don't want to go. Brother Baldwin told you about when he used to go soul winning down to D.C. They would roll up the windows and lock the doors. Those are the very ones that he was supposed to be reaching. And he's locking up the doors and rolling up the windows. Amen. And it happens sometimes. I've had my run-ins with these folks next door on several occasions. And sometimes I want to go over there and say, look, you know, but I can't do that. I was out there just the other day and one of them came out there and, you know, and just had guilt written all over his face. Big G right there. Hey, how you doing? And I wanted to say, you little, and then keep going on. But I know that's not right. I can't do that. I had to be loving to him. I had to be kind to him. I had to be understanding to him, knowing that he's just a kid. He's a sinner and he needs to be saved. And he's doing what he's doing because, number one, he's got no parental guidance. And number two, he's left to himself. And number three, he's a sinner. And who am I to judge and say, I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to give you the gospel because you're wicked. Well, such were some of you. Amen. And so such was some of me. But Jonah did reason, and he thought his reasoning was good because they were wicked and they deserved to be punished. And then we saw also down in verses 3 and 4, Jonah was bringing ruin to the other guys. And we found that he got on the ship and he brought disaster and ruin to everybody on the ship almost until God had to intervene in that. And that's where we begin leaving off. We saw Jonah was resting on his own guidance. Jonah was quite convinced that he was doing the right thing, so much so that Jonah could actually sleep through the storm. Now, how many of y'all ever been to the, what do you call that thing? You know, the ride that goes all the way up and then it drops down. Anybody had brave enough to go on one of those? Did you lose your lunch on it, brother? Just about, amen. I mean, it takes you way, way up. And I mean, everybody looks like ants. And then suspense comes in because they don't drop you right away. They just kind of jerk you. And so you kind of just sit there and you're looking around. Hi, mom. And you're waving and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, pow, it, phew, and you go down and you're like, ah. I took G2 on one of those one time. And I said, G2, how come you didn't say anything? He said, I was too afraid. You know, your epiglottis has come up here and you can't say anything. You can't sleep when things are going like this. But Jonah's fast asleep. Why is he fast asleep? He thinks he's doing the right thing. Christian, come on, let me tell you something. Sometimes we can think that we're doing the right thing and we're not. His reasoning was that they're wicked and they deserve to be punished. And so I'm going to go on. I can actually sleep on that. We should never get to the point where we can sleep knowing that someone else is going to die. We don't give them what we know we can give them. And that's what's going on here. He's sleeping. And he's pretty comfortable with that. There's only one problem wrong with that. God told him, arise and go and cry against their wickedness. But he's going the opposite direction. And so we saw Jonah was resting on his own guidance. Now I want us to see this. Jonah was revealed as guilty here in the next several verses. Jonah was revealed as guilty. You know, God has a way of exposing us when he's trying to get his point across. Amen. Imagine yourself being on the ship and everybody has cried to their gods. You're the only one that hasn't cried to your God. And before you could really cry to your God, they begin to draw straws and you come up with the short straw. What do you say? Joshua?
I didn't cry yet?
Oh, you didn't cry out to your God yet. Okay, well, yeah, I guess you could say that. Amen. What would you say when you come up on the short end of the stick? Think about that, because that's what's about to happen here. Notice down here, Jonah was revealed as guilty. Verse number 6. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. They questioned Jonah. They began to say, hey, look, what's going on here? One of the first things that I see here is they woke him up. Do you know sometimes that God's got to wake us up?
Oh, yeah.
And God can use some strange ways to wake us up. A bill, an illness, an accident. He can use a lot of things to wake us up to get our attention. Jonah here was asleeping. He, by the mercy of God, now is awakened by one of the mariners on the ship. And so they begin to wake him up. Show you a scripture verse here. Notice 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34. Because God in his mercy is trying to get our attention that we need revival. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. Again, by the way, how did Jonah get in this predicament in the first place? He disobeyed. And when we disobey, God gets our attention. And sometimes he uses some strange ways. 1 Corinthians 15, notice verse 34. It says, awake to righteousness and sin not. What did Jonah do? He had disobeyed. For some have not the knowledge of God. Now, I'll give you a trick question. He says, I speak to your shame. Did Jonah have knowledge of God? Yes. Jonah's going to make this statement. I fear God. Did Jonah really fear God?
No.
Think about it. Did Jonah really fear God? I think he feared him in a certain aspect. But I think Jonah, like many of the prophets, looked at this thing from a logical perspective. They're wicked. They deserve to be destroyed. So I'm right. And so, God, I have no fear about you at this point because I'm actually right in this. Now, what's wrong with that? The reasoning. The reasoning is that they're wicked, which they are. So that's correct. The wrong part is he's disobeying because God said, go and do it. So that's the wrong part. Were they wicked? Yes. We don't have to deal with that. The problem is, I believe he feared God, but he understood that they're wicked. And God, if you're any sort of God, then you will punish them because of their wickedness and what they've done. Because you do it to us as Israel, we're always getting beat down. So beat them down and beat the wickedness out of them. And so me going this way is just a good surefire way that you'll beat the devil out of them and destroy them. So did he fear God? I think he feared God about the same way you and I fear God when we disobey God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Because sometimes we do, if we're honest, we disobey. If we're honest. You know, we say, I never disobeyed God. You just did. You lied. Amen. And so I believe Jonah had this fear, but his fear was based upon, yes, God, I'm doing right. And so I don't have any reason to fear you right now because they're wicked and they should be punished. And so I'm justified in going this way. But Jonah, you're not, because I told you to go and reach him. And that's where you're wrong, Jonah. See, anytime our reasoning comes in to play apart from the word of God, that's when we get into trouble. And we reason against a direct order that God's given us. And that cannot be. That'll get us into trouble every time. And so Jonah is in need of revival and he needs to wake up. It says in verse 34 again, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. Did the Ninevites have the knowledge of God? No, they didn't. They knew of God, but they didn't have the knowledge of God. And God was sending Jonah to give them the knowledge of God. Get right or get left. Amen. And he says, I speak this to your shame. This is written to a church called Corinthians, who had everything going for them knowledge wise and spiritual wise. But they were misusing and abusing that which they had. And so that's written to Corinthians. Go over to Ephesians, show you a similar verse to that. Ephesians chapter 4. And Ephesians chapter number, five. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. And Ephesians 5:14, he says, matter of fact, come down to 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. And arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. For Jonah, what was the will of the Lord? Go to Nineveh. So Jonah needed to awake unto that. And sometimes I think God has to wake us up by different circumstances so that we will do what he has called us to do. What has he called us to do? Reach a dying and lost world. And again, Jonah here is falling short of that. Go back to Jonah, chapter number one. By the way, revival will often and always mark us getting back to that which is the basic obedience to God and evangelizing souls. When you look at the book of Acts, what were they doing? Reaching out, reaching out, reaching out. Revival will always show itself by us reaching out to others. Why? Because I've been revived now and I'm excited about Jesus Christ and I want someone else to have what I have. And Jonah is just the opposite of that. He, instead of reaching out, he is withdrawn within and his own reasoning is getting in the way. Let's go down there a little bit further here, because we see they woke him in verse number 6. And they said, O sleep, arise, call upon thy God, if so be that thy God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and lot fell upon Jonah. They identified him in verse number 7. They said, look, let's cast these lots. And lots were, they would put these stones in here, and a special stone would be marked in a certain way to represent some things. And they would kind of shake these things around here. They had different ways to do it. But it was sort of like rolling dice. How many of y'all are familiar with rolling dice? Yeah, nobody wants to admit that you're an ex-gambler. No, I'm just joking. Amen. Right, it's sort of like throwing dice. And you put that out there, and it would come up a certain way to depict a certain thing. And a lot of times back in olden times, that's how they discern which way to go or what to do. That's what they're doing here. And the lot falls on Jonah. So Jonah was, they woke him, then they identified him. And notice verse number 8, because then verses 8 and 9, they inquire of him. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? In other words, what job are you doing? And whence comest thou? It says, where did you come from? What is thy country? He said, what country did you come from? And of what people art thou? So they want the laundry list. They say, look, if this ship is in such peril, remember what it said in there, the ship was like to be broken. This ship is like to be broken. They're tossing all their wares out, all the things that they were selling and all the things of value. And now it come that it's your fault. They said, who are you? Where are you coming from? Who are your people? What is your occupation? What are you? Who are you? If you cause all this, who are you? You expect they're going to see the ambassador or somebody like that. Amen. By the way, who are we but sinners saved by grace? We're nobody special. But let me tell you the power of one. When God wants you to do something, you're somebody very special. Why? Because God has given you his message. And you're somebody very, very special. And that's the power of one. He's got a message for the people of Nineveh. And the power in his message can turn the whole town right. The power that you and I have in the message of the gospel can turn Tucson right. It can turn transgenders right. It can turn gays and lesbians right. I was in my office just the other day, and Tamara got the mail in, and she didn't know what was in this one envelope, but we often put door hangers out, and there's a gay pastor around here. He's the leading theologian of gay and lesbian marriages. And he said, since you were so kind to put your literature, he does this every year. Since you were so kind to put your literature on my door, here is some of my literature. He gave me his catalog of all the lesbian and gay pamphlets that he's put out and all the books and things of that nature. And I was getting ready to chuck it in the garbage. And I thought, you know, let me see what this guy says here. And I started looking at everything was out of context. I mean, Jesus had homosexual relationships and David had homosexual relationships. And I mean, everything was just out of context. And I thought, please. But you know what that man needs? The gospel. The gospel. The power of one to take that message and get him saved so that he can think straight and think right and understand that's the power of one. We have that message. Jonah had that message, and God said, arise, go, Jonah, and deliver this message. Jonah said, no, they're wicked. I'm not going. Folks, we can't have that. They identify him and they wake him and they begin to inquire of him, who are you? What are you doing? Verse number 9 says, and he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. Again, does he really fear the Lord? I think the best way he knows how he is fearing the Lord, he thinks he's doing right. By the way, you can justify and reason a whole lot of things in your mind if you're careful. And most of us are very careful. And we can reason some things that this is right to do. This is right to do. And I know it's right to do because of X, Y, and Z. But not when God says, arise and go. And cried to Nineveh. And so he says, I fear God, the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the mariners exceedingly afraid. We see they woke him. They identified him. They inquired of him and they asked of him. Verse number 10, then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. They said, look, if this is all your fault, then what do we need to do? We heard something like that over in the New Testament. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? They're saying, what do we have to do to be rescued? If you fear God, if you're a man of God, if you're a Hebrew, if you're of the Jewish race, if you know Jehovah God, what do we need to do to be saved? Or to be safe? The answer is not what they expected. Now, if you were on the ship and you were part of the crew, what would be the obvious answer if the sea is tempestuous and you're the cause? What would the obvious answer be, Joshua? Well, that's because you read the story. He threw him overboard. Amen. Katie?
I was going to say what Joshua said.
Pitch him overboard. Amen. If we know he's on the run from God, what really should happen if we know he's on the run from God? Get right and go where he's supposed to go. Where is it that you're running from? Who is this people that you need to go? Let's alter course. Let's go there. That's what I would do. What do we need to do? But Jonah doesn't say, get me to the course. Amazingly. You know, in essence, what Jonah says in one word? Suicide. I'd rather die than go to Nineveh. Chuck me overboard in this storm. I'd rather die. You say, no, he doesn't. What other logical explanation would you give? He's not going to swim. He's got no lifeboat. He's got no dinghy. He's got no rubber ducky. What other logical explanation do you have? I'm going to jump over in the middle of the sea. The storm is blowing. It wasn't to do the backstroke. And I don't think he was going to tread water a whole lot. It's tempestuous. The waves are going to cover him up. Jonah said, I am not going back there. Kill me first. Amen. Sometimes don't we get that way with God? Lord, if this is what it's like, kill me. Like Moses. If this is what it's like, just kill me. Just take me home today. If this is what life is all about, just do it. Do me a favor. Get it over with. Just make it quick and painless and in my sleep. And then we start giving conditions on that. You know, we don't want to get run over by a semi-truck. We don't want to get hit by a train. Amen. It's always, Lord, make it in my sleep. Make it painless. Make it like this. No, if you want to go, let's go. I got a lion right outside. Amen. I'd rather not get chewed up, Lord. I'd rather have this painless. But Jonah says, basically, toss me overboard. You say, man, he's not thinking straight. He wasn't thinking straight from the beginning. when he disobeyed God. By the way, we're not thinking straight either from the beginning when we disobey God. Honestly, we're not. We really aren't. We've bought a bag of goods that Satan sold us and some lies, and we're like Adam and Eve. Honestly, we're not thinking straight because there is no such thing as a successful sinner. Be sure your sins were what? There is no such thing as a successful sinner. God is not going to have repeatedly disobedient children and not deal with them, no more than you're going to have children that you're not going to deal with. Amen. They asked of him, what should we do? He said unto them, verse 12, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm to you. Now, Jonah is smart enough to know that I'm the cause of this. And so if I'm gone, y'all have smooth sailing. So why don't you just go ahead, you know, kill me. Take my life. He says, for I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. Now, how did he fathom his lips to even say that? It's my fault that y'all are in this predicament. Y'all threw away all your money. You threw away all your stuff, and it's my fault. And he probably said, in order for there not to be a mutiny for all the stuff y'all lost, y'all need to throw me over, because I know if y'all don't throw me over, y'all going to kill me once you find out. And they probably would have, amen? But notice these men. I mean, they have more compassion than Jonah. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land. They're saying, let's just get you back to shore, put you off, be rid of you, and be done with you, ye evildoer. You have brought us to ruin. The ship is like to be broken. This is your fault, but you know what? Let's just take you on back, amen. They have more compassion than Jonah. But you know, when you're a marked man by God, remember the circumstances we talked about this morning? God has a way of orchestrating circumstances. Notice what it says there, verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they what? Could not. God said, it ain't going to happen. You want to commit suicide? Here we go. He says, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous. So he asked of them. They inquired of him. They identified him. They woke him. But then he told them who he was. Wherefore, they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. They're repentant in their heart. They're like, look, we don't want to do this. Lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. So it happened just like Jonah said. He said, toss me overboard and it'll be okay. Have you ever been around somebody and you knew you weren't right with God, and once you left, good things start happening to those people, but bad things happened while you were there?
That could be a sign that you need to get right with God. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying it could be. Because you got to ask yourself, if we are like Jonah, and if we are in rebellion to God's direction and God's working, and we're not revived, then we've got to ask ourselves, are we bringing ruin to someone else? And they're paying the price for our disobedience. Because it can happen. It can happen. The sea ceased from raging. Notice verse 16. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now, it doesn't say they got saved, but it does say they feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord. They were very superstitious, as you can see by there over in verse number, the verse where they called on their gods there. So you know that they are superstitious. Verse 6, where it said they cried unto their gods in verse number 5. So they are superstitious. It doesn't say they got saved, but they did get acknowledged that Jehovah is God. Notice verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. How many of y'all think that was on Jonah's plan? Throw me overboard and a whale's going to swallow me up. And I'm going to be in there for 3 days and three nights. Nobody think that was on his plan? I don't think it was on his plan either. Jonah thought, I'm going to go down there, I'm going to swallow up a bunch of seawater, and I'm going to drown. It's going to be over. I don't have to see Nineveh no more. I don't have to contend with this mess of going over here to this wicked people. They'll be done with. The mariners are safe. I'm safe. Too. Relatively speaking. Now, back to my initial question. How many have cut open a fish? Brother Sam, what does it smell like?
Awful.
Awful?
Like rotting fish.
Serge? What do you find in an open fish, in a fish belly?
Everything
that ate. Guts, Aaron? It doesn't smell good. Now, these are small fish that we catch, that we cut open. Jonah's going to be in a fish big enough to swallow a man. So I think he probably got some whole fish in him, some tuna fish, or, you know, some swordfish. Might be sticking Jonah in the side or something. I don't know. Maybe some jellyfish. May have swallowed a stingray or something like that. Amen. You know, and can you see inside of a fish's belly? So you don't know what's poking at you. That would be a nightmare. That's a recipe for a nightmare. I'm getting poked, but I can't see what's poking me. Something's sucking on my head, and I don't know what it is. Something's poking me on my bottom. Something's tickling my foot. I don't have a clue what it is. That would be a living nightmare. You talk about a horror movie. They ought to make Jonah into a horror movie. It might be a bestseller. It's smelly. It's stinky. It's dark. And by the way, when things go in, things have to be broken down, right? So your body excretes, what's that stuff called? That stuff that breaks down the food. Jeremiah? Gastric acid. That's the word. Gastric acid. So now gastric acid is on my arm. And I'm screaming, but nobody can hear me. And God forbid, I don't know how much room he had. Maybe it gets in his eye. And I can't get my hand up there. I don't know how much room he had. But gastric acid is there. Fish are there. It's dark. You can't see. God has a way of getting us to repent, doesn't he? Hey, folks. How many been in the well of a belly before? I have. I'm not talking about this one. Amen. But I've been in some circumstances where I thought, how in the world did I get here? And God had to say, retrace your steps and you'll find out how you got here. And I had to go back and get some things right with God. Jonah finds himself in this position now where he has tried to commit suicide. He's running from what he thought was right to do. Going to Nineveh was a wrong mistake. God, you made a mistake. I don't want to go there. I'm going over here. And since I can't go there, I'll just kill myself and you won't even let me die. Sort of like the book of Revelations, when men are going to want to die, and they're not going to be able to die from all the scorpion bites. Men are going to say, mountains fall on us, rocks fall, somebody fall on us, anything fall on us. So here's Jonah. And he is at this point now where he is probably at the lowest that he could go, literally. And said, verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. You know, sometimes God can prepare situations for you and I just to get our attention, to wake us up, so to speak. They said, awake, thou sleeper. Call on your God. Who are you? He said, I'm a Hebrew. I fear God. And God is trying to get his attention that, Jonah, what you had in mind is not right. I still love those people. I still want to save those people. Folks, oftentimes when you and I get in that position where we think we know better than God, God's got to get our attention sometimes. And he's got to say, awake, wake up. It's not what you think. And we may try and commit spiritual suicide. Say, I'm just not going to do it. I'll go over here and I'll do this. And then we find ourselves in the belly of a whale. It's dark. You can't see a whole lot. And it's not a great place to be. Well, one of the things that we're going to see next week is the power of one to repent. You know, in all of Jonah's rebellion, I mean, he's still rebelling. He still hadn't got right with God yet. And this fish had to swallow him up. And you're going to see in the next chapter, Jonah finally begins to repent. And the fish then is going to spit him out. And guess where the fish is going to spit him out? Right where he needs to be. Suicide? Nah. Not going to happen. I'm going to get you to go to Nineveh one way or the other. Now, if God can do that to a prophet, imagine what he can do to us. Doesn't our reasoning seem good sometimes? Yes, it does. Doesn't our rebellion seem right sometimes? Yes, it does. Doesn't our running seem like this is the right thing to do sometimes? Yes, it does. Sometimes the thought process that we have about running and all these other, and the ruin that we bring to other people's lives, we think, well, it's not that bad. Well, it's bad because it's disobedience to God. Folks, one thing about revival marks you and I being on fire about getting somebody else out there in here. Even if they might be next door and they may steal and they may cut fences, they may do bad things, they may say bad things. God still loves them and God still wants to save them. Who are we to say you're too wicked to be saved? Now, I don't want to be in the belly anymore, but you know what? I got a feeling I'll probably be there again before Jesus comes. And let me go out on a limb and say you'll probably be there before Jesus comes. Unless he comes within the next 2 seconds. And how do we get there? We reason, we run, we rebel, and we bring ruin. But these men tried their hardest to get Jonah to dry land. Jonah said, I'd rather commit suicide. Notice what it says. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. You know, that's the same illustration that Jesus Christ gave. He said, the Son of Man, Jonas was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. He says, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. There's something about that. It was just enough time to get. Now, I don't want to be in the fish 1 day. Now, I'll eat the fish, but I don't want to be in the fish. Not even 1 day, not even 1 hour. Why? It's dark. Can't see. You don't know what's going on. But sometimes God's got to put us in situations like that to get our attention. What happened? Awake, thou sleeper. Call on your God. Jonah said, I fear God. And I believe he really did fear God, but he thought he was right. Christians, be careful. We can really think that we're right and we're wrong, especially when we go against what God says to do. Jonah blatantly went against that. And now he finds himself in need of repentance. The power of one. Jonah had the power to rebel. He rebelled by running from God. He thought his reasoning was good. He brought ruin to the other guys. He rested on his own guidance. But then he was revealed as guilty and tried to commit suicide. And God said, nope, you're going. You're going. Sunday, we're going to talk about repentance, folks, because when we get revived, it's going to involve repentance. It is. It's going to involve you and I looking at our lives, not looking at someone else's life. You can't get revived by looking at somebody else. You've got to look at Jesus Christ. You've got to look at the one who saved you. You've got to look at the one who loved you. And you've got to see him high and lifted up. When you see him, you actually see how much of in the belly we are and how much he loves us and how much he cares for us. And he doesn't want us in the belly. God did not want Jonah in the belly. That's the last place he wanted him. He wanted him in Nineveh. But if he's not going to go, he's going to get him there. Let's examine our own hearts. Let's examine our own lives when it comes to the matter of the power of one. We have power. But it's power that really shouldn't be exercised. Why? Because God's given us the Holy Spirit power. And we don't need our own power. Although we exercise it. And oftentimes for our bad and not God's good and God's glory. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Folks, let's get revived. Let's get a hold of the heartbeat of God. And let's make sure that we're telling other sinners outside these doors what Jesus Christ truly means to us and who he is and why we love him so much and why they need to be saved and have the same God that we have. Brother Hall, if you could lift your voice up for us and ask God's blessing on the services tonight and the safety and traveling.